Your Bible to John chapter 3 tonight, John chapter 3, and I just want to go through something quickly with you here tonight in light of our missions conference, in light of what you saw there. You know, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart, and I know some of the videos that we'll see during missions conference, of course, God will use those as well as others that we see throughout the year. And so look at John chapter 3, and let me just read. Can I do this tonight? Can I just read a phrase for you? And that's verse 16, where our book says, for God so loved the world. That's it right there. For God so loved the world. You know, the football team lines up for an extra point attempt after a touchdown or a field goal, and the camera angle is almost always, the view is almost always from behind the kicker. And so the ball is hiked and the holder places the ball on the ground and the kicker kicks it high into the air and the trajectory of the ball is followed by the camera and, you know, it zeroes in on that ball. And you see the goalpost and as you look on, you know, you see it's kind of the faceless crowd in the background. And then there is the sign. Someone in that faceless crowd is holding a sign with big, bold letters and numbers, and it's very easy to read. It simply says, John 3:16. That's it. That's all it needs to say, because almost any person who sees it at the stadium or on television knows what that is. It's a scripture verse taken from the Bible, the book of John, the third chapter, the 16th verse. You're driving down an interstate, headed somewhere to visit relatives or friends or on a business trip or go on a vacation, and the road stretches out ahead of you endlessly. And along your journey, there are billboards on both sides of the interstate. And, you know, they're advertising restaurants and gas stations and places of interest that you can visit and scenic outlooks and this and that, tourist attractions. And then in a rural area painted on the roof of a barn that's located several yards off of the road are some letters and some numbers. John 3:16. It's everywhere. It very well could be the most well-known sentence of all time. The verse is the spoken words of Jesus Christ. He said them while in conversation with Nicodemus. You know, when you think of the conversation that took place with Nicodemus and Jesus there, you know, you think of the part where Jesus speaks of being born again. But truthfully, the conversation goes all the way down through verse 21 in chapter 3, and it includes John 3:16. So that was in his conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. And he introduces the necessity of being born again here almost immediately to Nicodemus. I won't go through every verse. And Nicodemus is mostly concerned with how Jesus is performing all these miracles. That's what he asked them in verse number 2. You know, who are you? Who are you from? You know, nobody can do what you do except God is with him. And God is more than just with Jesus. Jesus is God. And, but, you know, right away, Jesus starts talking about the miracle of salvation. He talks about the miracle of the new birth. He doesn't talk about the miracle of feeding people or healing people. He talks about the miracle of the new birth. And he starts telling, you know, that Nicodemus, you'll have to be born again to understand things. And if you're not born again, you're not going to understand everything. And Nicodemus thinks that Jesus is talking about a physical birth. And although he's a learned man in his religion, he's lost. He can't see the truth that Jesus is pressing on him. And so Christ begins to use earthly examples to help Nicodemus understand what it means to be born again. He says in verses 5 and 6, you know, about the birth of water and birth of the Spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And he's contrasting the physical birth and the spiritual birth to help Nicodemus understand it. In verse number 8, and we won't take time, again, like I said, to read every verse. Number 8, he uses the wind to illustrate the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, because the Holy Spirit's work is necessary for somebody to be born into the family of God. And Nicodemus is having a hard time grasping what Jesus is teaching. And he says in verse number 9, how can these things be? He's not getting it. And Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus about eternal truth. And Jesus was not speaking theoretically. He was speaking as an eyewitness to the truth. He was speaking as truth. And Jesus explained to Nicodemus that someone who came from heaven can speak truthfully and knowledgeably about heavenly things. And Jesus could speak like that about heaven because no one other than him had come from heaven. And he talked about that. You know, if you're interested, you know, in going to visit a place you've never been before, who better to tell you about that place than the one who was born there? You know, who would you want from, who would you, if you had the opportunity for me or Brother Sue, to tell you about Madagascar, you'd obviously want to hear it from him because he's born and reared there. And he knows it, he came from there. And, you know, Jesus could speak of eternal heavenly truth because Jesus knew it personally. He was in the beginning with God, and he is God. And as such, he could speak about heaven and speak about eternal truths. And you get down to verse 14, and Jesus talks about that Nicodemus. He tells in verse 14, begins to tell Nicodemus his reason for coming from heaven to the earth. And he says, Nicodemus, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. Like Moses lifted up that brass serpent in the wilderness. People, Nicodemus knew about that. He's a student of the Old Testament, okay? He knows about that story. And Jesus tells him, just like Moses lifted up that brass serpent in the wilderness and all those people who were bitten by those serpents and poisonous that were dying, and all they had to do was look at that serpent. That serpent on that pole was a picture of Jesus Christ under the judgment of God for the payment of man's sin. And he said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, that brass serpent that Moses lifted up was able to deliver those people from their physical sickness. But brother, when Jesus would be lifted up, he would deliver people from their spiritual sickness that we talked about this morning. And Jesus did not come to do all the miracles that he did. He came to work the miracle of the salvation, the new birth. And then you get to verse 16. And he speaks those well-known words, telling why God sent him to the world. Why God sent him to be lifted up. Why would God do that? For God so loved the world. Here it is, Nicodemus. You want to know more about me? I told you the only way you can know me is to be born again. Then you will see and understand truth. And I came to make it possible for people to be born again. But I must be lifted up and die in order for people to be saved. And the reason that all of this is in motion is because for God so loves the world. And he does not love the world with a warm and fuzzy feeling of empathy. He loves the world with a deep, true, and full love, a love so deep, a love so true, a love so full, Nicodemus, that he sent me, his only begotten Son, to die for this. That's why I'm here. I've been sent by God. And all the miracles are just to prove to the world that I am the one sent by God to die for them. I am come from heaven where God lives, to make it possible for all people someday to go live with him. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. For God so loved the world. Is there a better statement anywhere? Is there a more important statement anywhere? Is there a more powerful, is there a more necessary statement for the human race than the simple phrase, for God so loved the world? And I'm a little bit convicted about the fact that we haven't taken more missions trips and made more mission trips available. And I don't know what we can put together, how to put it together. But folks, I mean, it ought to be enough for us just to see the crowds that live in our community who are without Christ. But it just has a certain effect on you when you leave your country and go to another one. And you see it right there in your face. And for God so loved the world takes on a whole new meaning. For God so loved the world. Four things this evening, quickly. Number one, believe it. Amen. Believe it. Everyone in this room is so deeply, so truthfully, so fully loved by God that he sent his only Son to die for your sin so that you could go live with him forever. Amen. You understand how deeply and fully you're loved by God, folks? Understand? You and I, we're in that world. We're in that world. God loves us so much And He wants us to live where He lives forever. And someone, yes, even on a Sunday night in this room, may be living in denial, thinking nobody loves me, no one cares about me. I'm telling you, you are loved by the Creator God, and you may have messed up your life with behavior and activity that's only brought you trouble and heartache, and you may feel like you are worthless and beyond the reach of anyone's care, but the truth is that God cares, and God loves you, and God has proven that care and proven by that love by sending His only begotten Son to die for you. For God so loved you. 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 And the devil will lie to you. He'll cause you to doubt God's love and say things in your ear, like in your heart, like if God really loved you, then why has life turned out like this for you? And if God cares for you, then why have all these things that are against you? Why are all these things happening? And no matter all the lies Satan throws at you about God's love, He's already proven His love by sending Christ to die on the cross. So believe it. Believe it. And if you've never received it, if you've never received the love of God through the gift of Jesus, His Son, then receive it. Be saved. Say, this is Sunday night. That doesn't matter, folks. Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday morning. There are people who just prayed a prayer when they were a little person but have never been born into God's family. If you've never received the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, then my goodness, believe it and then be saved. Believe it. Number two, enjoy it. Enjoy it. If you've already believed and received the love of God through His Son, Jesus, and you've been saved, then for goodness sakes, enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Don't go through life being caught up with things that are far less wonderful than the love of God. It ought to be that every day, those of us who are saved, like I talked about this morning, we'll be reminded of how much God so loved us and enjoy the blessings of that love. Don't allow this type of love, this kind of love, to go unthought of and unnoticed, to become old news, to be forgotten under the pile of lesser important matters in this life. You know, when I'm gone for an extended period of time, like it was. It wasn't too bad this time. The ladies in the office did a wonderful job kind of dishing things out to the fellas. But boy, sometimes if I'm gone like a week at camp or something, come back in and I go get my tray, I pull that tray out, and it's like, oh, gracious. And it's just stacked. And so I try to separate, you know, and this is important, and this can wait, and this is important, and this can wait. So, you know, trying this, need it, and this goes in file 13, and okay. So, you know, and so I get it all, and I try to, because I got to approach it methodically. You know, you look, and by the way, you look at a great big pile of work, wondering how in the world am I going to get this done? Paralysis by analysis. I have to have it organized and everything, and then I start in, I can get everything accomplished. And sometimes I've dug through a whole pile of stuff and get the last paper put away, and oh, man. This was not supposed to be on the bottom of the pile. I misplaced it. It was something that was urgent, needed immediate attention. And maybe it took me 2 days to get through that pile. And mistakenly, I put that important matter on the very bottom without thinking about it. And it didn't get taken care of. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, about the love of God. Don't let the love of God get to the bottom of the pile. Life piles so much stuff on us, so much stuff on you. And some of that stuff must be attended to and noticed, but most of it is secondary to the love of God. So don't let a day pass without thinking about and enjoying the truth of how much God loves you. He loved me so much, He sent His only begotten. Our problem is we know it too well. We know the words, we can say them backwards. But is there any more group of words more important than "for God so loved the world"? Oh, believe it. And if you're saved, enjoy it. Enjoy being a born-again child of God. Number three, tell it. Tell it. You know what? You know what's amazing is follow me for a minute here. There's no greater message that can be passed along than the message "for God so loved the world." None. Is it any wonder that John 3:16 is... Why is John 3:16 painted on the barn? Why is the guy in the football stadium holding up John 3:16? Why is he doing that? Could any message be more important than that message? And God has left us here to tell that message and commission the church to spread it to others. And why is it so easy to talk to others about everything under the sun when the most important message anyone can and needs to hear has to do with something above the sun? And tell it. Look, you know, the fact is that since the days of Jesus on earth, there's been a shortage of people who are willing to spread that message. Because he said on more than one occasion, what? The harvest is plenteous? What? Laborers being people who will tell the message of salvation. Telling someone about an opportunity that they have to receive $1 million is not as important as telling someone about the truth that God loves them and sent his son to die for them so they could live with him in heaven someday. You get to 32 years of pastoring one church and you start looking back and you start looking at things like, man, should have done better there, should have done better there. And I live with this regret right now that I haven't done a better job motivating the people of this church to be involved in telling the message. I've somehow failed. But I'm looking at folks who've never once shared that message with anybody. Never once. And I don't know what more to do. I'm not talking about getting everybody to the same soul-winning meeting. That's impossible. Now, the crowd we had yesterday filled up both sides of the under the balcony back there. Just about the whole thing. It was a blessing. Amen. And you see the results of it. Amen. This morning. Okay? And I don't know. You say, well, I got other stuff to do. Everybody has stuff to do.
Right.
Everybody has stuff to do. Right. So if you can't get to a meeting, for goodness gracious, put some tracks in your pocket, folks. We got these tracks from BTI. We can put them out again. And give them out.
Amen.
Give them out. Give them out to folks. At work, tell your coworker. Just tell somebody. You know, if you live so far away you can't make it in, then okay, how can I get this done where I live? But this is the greatest message anybody could ever be told, and God gave the telling of it to us.
Amen.
It's up to us
right.
to tell the world God loves you.
Amen.
So be challenged by that. Tell it, all right? Tell it. Believe it and enjoy it and tell it. And just, you got to break the ice, jump the hurdle, do something. With a gospel, if it's nothing but a gospel tract, just put it in somebody's hand. Believe it, enjoy it, tell it, and then send it. Number four, send it. Yes, we should tell it where we go. We should, and then we should send it where we cannot tell it. And this is where people that we call missionaries come into God's plan. And in about, 4 weeks now? Yep, 4 weeks from today. 21st, yeah, 4 weeks from today. We start our missions conference. And at the conference, it can be just done by rote. Okay, been there, done that. I know the drill. Here we go. Yep. All right. Or you can start praying right now.
Amen.
God, what would you have me to do? What would you want me to do? I want to obey you. Knowing the time.
Amen.
Knowing the time. You reckon those faces? The majority of that crowd in that white tent has been one to Christ in the last 11 years.
Amen.
The majority of that crowd in that tent has been one to Christ in the last 11 years. And that's why we send them. All right? You say, well, inflation. Yeah, I know, folks. I know. And I want to say something. I said it before. Some of us lived in the 80s, and we lived through the inflation that they say is taking place right now. We lived through it then. We lived through gas prices, not as high as they are now, but there was a shortage. I pulled up over here the other day. Every one of these Circle K's, every regular pump was out. Every regular pump was out of gas this week. Nobody needs to act like a martyr right now.
Amen.
It's time to be wise. It's time to be prudent. But nobody needs to act like a martyr.
Amen.
Okay? I don't think anybody's living in the house where that lady was sitting. Okay? You have to wonder what in the world she's sleeping on inside that place. So, it's our job.
Amen.
It's what God expects.
Amen.
And every family, and those of you young adults, unmarried, who have a job making money, every family in this church should be involved in the cause of giving so the gospel can be told.
Amen.
In distant lands. And so that's why as a church, our challenge is to begin praying now. What would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? And don't think for a minute, well, people don't really get behind this. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are people in this room heavily invested weekly giving to missions. Yeah, heavily invested. People have come here from other churches. I'm thinking of an individual right now, came from another church. Said, Pastor, I came here and I've never been taught about giving to missions. Never been taught about it. We'll hear more about it in some of the services as we get close to missions conference. And then while Brother Johnson is here, it'll be more than just giving, but that's a big part of it. So we need to get the message to the world the very best that we can. And last Sunday, Brother DeWitt was here to me and Ma. We voted to take him on as a missionary this past Wednesday night. 4 million tracts. We just gave some money to help get those tracts printed, to get the Bible in those people's language. Because you know what? We don't have a lot of time left. And if it was you and your family in a distant land, and you had no book in your language, no literature, you'd be thankful for some American Christians whose standard of living is so higher than the rest of the world. But yet they were willing to give so somebody could take the gospel to people like that. For God so loved the world. Those little words. For God so loved the world. 6 words. Most amazing statement in human history. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege tonight to share the trip you allowed us to take with our church family. Thank you for their generosity to me and Joyce so that we could have a very enjoyable time. Father, would you please help us to see the importance of that simple statement, for God so loved the world. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight who's not saved, now's the time of salvation. Maybe there's a saved person here tonight who just needs to quit listening to the devil and enjoy the love of God that was exhibited when Jesus died on the cross. And then, Lord, help us to tell it. Help us to be motivated to tell somebody, to give somebody a tract. And then God, help us to send it where we cannot go. And as this conference comes and we contemplate your will for our lives, I pray that you'll lead, guide, and direct every person to have a willing heart and be involved in this matter of sending the gospel, that message, for God so loved the world, to the world that needs to hear it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I am not saved. I need to believe it tonight and receive it as Jesus, as my Savior. I'm the one that needs to believe it. and receive Christ tonight. Is that you tonight? Can I see your hand? I'm not trying to make anybody doubt their salvation, but I want to pray for anybody here who's in that condition. Maybe you're one who needs to enjoy it. Maybe you're one who needs to tell it. Maybe you're one who just needs to get involved this year in sending it. But those words, "For God so loved the world," the greatest words in human history. How did God speak to your heart tonight? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You obey the Lord tonight.